Good afternoon, members. We'll call this meeting of the Education Finance Committee to order. We do not have a quorum yet, but Representative McDonald will brief the members of the committee on your bill, but we will withhold taking formal action on it until a quorum is present. Representative McDonald, at the appropriate time, will be moving the A1 amendment, which are going to strip all the education provisions out of your bill, and we're going to make that motion to send this bill to public safety. Do you have any additional comments beyond that? Excuse me, to transportation? Yes. To transportation with Representative Beard. Do you have any additional comments on that, Representative McDonald?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do not.
Okay. Any comments from members of the committee? Okay, so members, at the appropriate time, we have a quorum. That's the action we'll take, and Representative McDonald, you're excused.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. Members, the next item on our agenda is House File 2025, the Erdahl Bill. I thought I saw Representative Erdahl here. Welcome to the committee, Representative Erdahl. And again, we are lacking a quorum right now, but you can begin the presentation on your bill at the appropriate time. The chair will recommend that House File 2025, at the appropriate time, this is the motion I'll make, that it'll be recommended to pass and referred to the committee on GovOps. So, Representative Erdahl, to your bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Always enjoyable to here before the Education Committee, a committee that I served on for 6 years. House File 2025 deals with academic and career and technical courses. It allows PSEO students to enroll in non-sectarian academic, career, and technical courses. It allows post-secondary institutions the ability to advertise. It allows partnerships between businesses and academic institutions. It strikes a provision that requires pupils to designate whether a course is for secondary or post-secondary credit. And it creates a task force as well on how to integrate career and vocational education into K-12 education. The world is changing. Education must adapt. We must model ourselves after the best in the world, our country, and our state. Vocational career education has changed, and we, in some ways, are not meeting the current needs. The governor recently held a job summit, and in the summit, businesses there highlighted the need for more vocationally trained employees in career jobs like welders. Now, we need to look at various models that are available to us in the state. I went to the Anoka and went through the STEP program that they have there. The purpose of the task force is to bring stakeholders together and find answers to some of the questions of how we can better coordinate vocational career education, and also deals with looking at master's degrees and how we can find ways to encourage more teachers to get master's degrees in their content area. And so those are the highlights of the bill. And entertain questions. I do have some testifiers as well.
We'll take those testifiers right now. The first testifier that you have, you want to bring them up, or if you have more than one of them, have them come up to the
we'll
table at the
start
same
with
time.
Mr. Bartholomew and the others could come and sit behind here.
Welcome to the. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Yeah, my name is Paul Menny. Thank you for having me here today. Appreciate it. A lot of people are going to talk about the different things about for and against. I'm here just to tell you about my experience with PSEO. Again, it is an honor to be here, and I appreciate that. My experience with PSEO is the fact that I was not allowed to do PSEO. And so what happened is I was the 51st percentile in my graduating class, and that prevented me from doing PSEO. I came from a white middle-class family of college-educated parents who came to the school with me to advocate past that to still allow me to do so. And that wasn't enough. The fact that I had also taken advanced math courses was still not enough. Even more so, I had just returned 3 days prior to the start of my senior year from basic training. I had joined the Minnesota Army National Guard as a junior, 17-year-old, and to pay for my college education and to serve the state that I love, which is another reason why I'm here today. But that was not enough for me to still to be allowed to do PSEO. Because of that percentage, which more reflected probably the educational institution than my individual accomplishments or the potential I had. So from not being able to do there, I did graduate from high school. I went on to attend the United States Intelligence Center Intelligence Analyst Program in Tucson, Arizona. I graduated second in my class as an honor graduate, of which 50% of the candidates failed out of. From there, I went on to Minnesota State University. I graduated there achieving multiple dean's lists and graduating with honors. Certainly that says I was smart enough to do PSEO, but it doesn't even end there, and I wanted to share the rest of it with you. From there, I left college, started my career, and became a vice president of a community bank by the age of 27. I've served on all the local chamber of commerces that I've been involved with in terms of lived in, volunteered with my time with United Way. I've served on the school board, and currently I'm a city council person in the community I live. Most importantly, I'm a father of five, and that's what I'm most proud of, and that's why I'm here today. Even though I was not allowed to participate in PSEO, I certainly was good enough to do all the things that I've accomplished and been blessed to do so. But boy, would it have been better to have been allowed to prepare myself for the banking and the local government I'm in. We talk about issues there all the time, yet this is a kid who was told he wasn't smart enough. So I appreciate you taking up the issue of PSEO and the other things in this bill, of course. But at the end of the day, I'm here for my kids and the kids that are in school today so that they have the options to be as prepared and even more prepared than I was. So thank you again.
Thank you very much for your testifier. Representative Erdahl, do you have any additional testifiers? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Maureen Ramirez. I'm a Policy and Research Director at Growth and Justice, a research and advocacy organization focused on expanding economic prosperity and reducing inequality in Minnesota. And we're particularly focused on education policy and reducing the unacceptable gaps that have opened up there by income and in race in educational achievement and attainment in Minnesota. We support this bill and any effective policy that gets all of our human potential as early as possible on track for at least some form of post-secondary attainment and skills training beyond high school. The Advisory Task Force on Career and Technical Education, which is now in this bill, is an important step in this effort as a place to explore best practices and proven strategies for integrating technical education and workforce development for our future. Also, we hope that this task force can be used in ways to help consider how to improve math scores and bring more and better and applied versions of math to our students in career and technical education. Our organization has brought considerable research and resources, rigorous evidence testing, and cost-effectiveness criteria to study what really works in education. We believe PSEO is a cost-effective measure that can help on our educational attainment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Members, we have a quorum. House will officially call the meeting to order. And what we'll do is the chair will move House File 1586, that was the McDonald bill, be recommended to pass and refer to the Transportation Committee. The chair will also move the A1 amendment that we discussed. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The motion is adopted. The chair will renew his motion to have House File 1586 be recommended to pass as amended and referred to the Transportation Finance Committee. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. That bill is adopted. That motion adopts. The chair will now move House File 2025 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Government Operations. The chair will also move an oral amendment, if it's okay with Representative Greiling, page 1, line 14. We are striking an intermediate school district. That is your intent. Is that correct, Representative?
Yes.
Representative Greiling, is that okay? It's not a 24-hour.
Mr. Chair, I did hear about it ahead, and it's fine.
Okay, thank you very much. So the chair will move that oral amendment to scratch an intermediate school district from line 1, page 1, line 14. All right, I guess we're just going to delete the section. That'll be the oral amendment. So any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The amendment is adopted. Representative Erdahl, I believe that the House File 2025 is now in the form that you would like, and to your final testifier.
Thank you. Actually, I have
next
one more.
Final.
Next, second to last.
Yep.
We're moving.
Welcome
we're
to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Jim Bartholomew with the Minnesota Business Partnership. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and we encourage your support for House File 2025. Building transitions from high school to higher ed is now more important than ever, and with 70% of all jobs in 2018 requiring at least some post-secondary education. And House File 2025 is an appropriate update for the PSEO law. When passed in the mid-80s, there were two main purposes. One, to create more challenging academic opportunities for students, as well as to provide students with different settings so that they could be more successful. The clarifications and emphasis in this bill on career and technical education are important, as are the changes allowing for both high school and post-secondary credit. Thank you very much, and we ask that you support House File 2025.
Thank you.
One more. Yep.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Banda Ali. I'm from the Center for School Change. I just want to make clear, I've been taking dual credit since ninth grade. One of the reasons why I was able to enter St. Olaf was because of my honors classes there. I'm succeeding successfully there. I'm here to tell you if you can just pass the college and the universities, allowing them to help promote. I work closely with the Latino, Hmong, Somali, the Karen groups at this moment with parents in outreach. And one of the things that I always find is PSEO is definitely one that they're most interested in, but they don't have enough information of, and students themselves don't know enough of. And if there's any way we can help, if you can have universities and colleges to help support that, bring awareness to families and students about, saving money and time is really what I'm here for, because it did save me money and time, especially for low-income first-generation families like myself and our immigrant population now. It would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. This is a public hearing. Are there any first of all, Representative Erdahl, do you have any additional testifiers?
No, I don't. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns about the bill? Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record. And members, just to be clear, I will obviously with the late start of the committee, we'll be going past our time. We have room 10 reserved at 4:30 for future action. So we'll try to be brief, but we'll see what we're able to get through here between 2:20 or 2:25. Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Roger Arnson. I represent the elementary and secondary principals organizations. We want to first off thank Representative Erdahl for working with him on 2025 and getting it in this particular shape. We think that the career task force that's set up in here is an excellent idea, and that we hope to have some good things come out of that and be here next year talking about that as well. A couple of things that I just wanted to let the committee know about and be aware of. When this statute was passed, there was a considerable amount of concern that kids would make the right choices in taking PSEO classes. What you don't see in the bill here is subdivision 6 of the PSEO statute. The head note in that is counseling. And that provision of the statute says that to the extent possible, the school has to provide, the K-12 school has to provide counseling to the kids as to whether or not they should be involved in the PSEO classes. And if you read the statute, it says to make sure students are aware of the risks and possible consequences of enrolling in post-secondary courses. If you go on the department's website and look at what some of the frequently asked questions are at that website, we have a problem out there that kids enroll in these classes and they get F's. And when they get F's, those are part of their permanent transcript at the higher ed institution. And that it is very difficult for them to get those F's off. And that they can have some ongoing consequences to financial aid once they're out of the K-12 system on their GPAs. And I know that you have this advertising provision that's in here as well. Be aware that this is a significant change in direction from how this statute was originally fashioned. And that's gone through kind of quick, and we want you to be aware of that. I might say also that we have raised some concerns about page 3, subdivision 12, and we mentioned this in the policy committee as well. The way the statute is structured you have to enroll in the higher ed institution or you enroll at the high school. And if you enroll in the higher ed class and you pass it, you get credit in the high school. So you do get dual credit now. That's in the second paragraph there. But the first paragraph says you have to enroll in one or the other, that you can't be enrolled in both places at the same time. And so when we strike that, we're not really sure what the net of that is. Maybe it is innocuous, but I just want to, we raised that in the policy committee as well. We're not quite sure if that is innocuous or not. And I think the intent is to be that, but just something to be aware of as we continue to work on this bill and see what we can do to make this work. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Are there any additional members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns about the bill? Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, my name is Kirk Schneider. I went on staff at the Minnesota School Boards Association. And I, too, want to compliment Representative Erdahl on his approach here. We've been in conversation off and on since the fall trying to find a solution to this issue. And he's listened to us some of the time, and he's also not listened to us some of the time. And so one of those issues, and a minor issue in front of us, is the issue of advertising. And in the piece that is restricted from this bill deals with the financial piece related to post-secondaries being able to advertise on financial ground. So in practice, this could mean that a higher ed institution could advertise to, in doesn't limit how much they can advertise, doesn't limit when they can advertise. The issue of advertising to our high school juniors and seniors that they can go forward and receive free college tuition, free college credits, assuming they earn a satisfactory or passing grade. And so that's one of the issues that we're concerned about. I know that I live in the Mankato community that has a very delicate relationship with Minnesota State and Gustavus, and those are local relationships that are important in the building of the community and working together. And so that's one of the issues that we've talked to Representative Erdahl about this, and he understands our concern on this. And so we're just hopeful that as this bill progresses that we can perhaps reach some compromise or middle ground that would allow some limitations on that advertising for higher ed institutions. Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any additional members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Chair Garofalo. My name is Don Larson. I'm the faculty member at Minnesota State University Mankato and also president of the Interfaculty Organization, which represents the faculty members of the seven state universities at the MinSCU system. Our organization, the IFO, has not had an opportunity to develop an official position on this, so I'm really speaking more out of my own experience as a faculty member at Mankato, but I believe that my concerns do reflect those of many other people in our membership. I do want to thank Representative Erdahl. Communicated with him recently about some suggestions for changes, and I was pleased with his positive response. And I want to, I think, echo some of the concerns and also some of the praises that the previous testifiers had. As an instructor as a professor at Minnesota State University Mankato, I've been there for a good three decades, so I've really been there from the beginning of when PSEO was first offered. I can tell you that when PSEO options were relatively restricted, often the students who would be coming in from the greater Mankato community to take my classes, often an evening class, were among the best and the brightest that I was receiving. Often looked forward to having them in my classes, and for many of those students, that still remains to be the case. As the restrictions on those PSEO students, though, lessened, it became apparent to me, and it's become apparent, I think, to others who've been in my situation, that we see more of those students struggling, that we see them not really prepared to understand what they're entering into when they come to a college-level class, even at the freshman introductory level. I think that some of those concerns have been mitigated by changes that Representative Erdahl's made in this version of the bill that you have before you, particularly by speaking specifically to junior and senior level students who I think are better prepared both intellectually and developmentally. There will always be exceptions like Mr. Minnie and other students who are well advanced and who need to have some recourse beyond artificial barriers and restrictions placed on them, but I believe that there are institutional ways in which those can be worked around. But again, I don't think that's necessarily an issue in this particular version of the bill. Secondly, I think what's related to my concerns are the ones that the previous testifier had in regard to counseling. I think it is important that students coming into PSEO understand what they need to devote in terms of their time and attention. Particularly, one of my classes I teach is Introduction to Film. And even my regular college students are usually astounded when they discover that it's one of the hardest courses for general education students to take. That becomes all the more so, I think, for high school students entering in. A third concern that was also reflected has to do with advertising. Again, I think the current language of the bill mitigates some of those concerns by making it clearer that those institutions that can advertise to students do have to meet the state's definitions of what comprises a post-secondary institution. But while we know there are many good and valid for-profit institutions out there and other kinds of institutions, we do know also that there are unscrupulous institutions that have preyed and will probably try to take advantage of what opportunity they can have to prey upon high school students and their families simply to grab the money that they can without giving them the quality of the education that they deserve. Finally, I will just refer you to the fact that Senator Olson introduced some changes to the Senate version of this bill recently. These two, I think, address in slightly different ways the corrections and the changes that Representative Erdahl made. But one in particular that I haven't seen addressed in this version of the bill is the definition of a career or technical course, which comes under Section 1, Subdivision 8 in Senator Olson's version of the bill. I think that's a helpful addition by having that particular definition. I would urge your committee to give it consideration here, or certainly by the time it gets to conference committee if it should get that far. And I thank you for your attention. Stand if you have any questions.
Thank you very much. We'll complete public testimony before we move to member questions, but thank you. Are there any additional members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns with the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion of the bill and move to member questions. Representative Mariani and then Representative Breinhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Erdahl, we spoke about the issues I'm about to raise in policy. I just want to raise them again here in this committee. Is there anything in this bill that opens up PSEO to private private for-profit proprietary post-secondary institutions?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mariani, no.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Riddle, my understanding is that the Senate has such language in it. And I would strongly urge you, I like your bill, and I want to support it. And I think I might have signed on to your bill. And yes, I think this is the right thing for us to do, but I don't think it's right for us to open up these opportunities to those institutions. And we heard a little bit about some of the reasoning for that, you know, the advertising issue in particular. There's been great reform in that sector, much of it driven by federal action, but nonetheless, there is a history there of very aggressive advertising that many people would argue has been harmful to students. We certainly don't want to open that up to minors in the state of Minnesota. And also, many of those institutions are not structured in such a way as to provide the kind of counseling care that our or other higher ed institutions do have, and we heard a little bit of testimony about how some of the students currently may be struggling in some of these courses. If that's the case, we certainly want to make sure there's good counseling there. And so I think that's just two reasons why I don't think we should go down that road. And if your bill moves forward, I think it's a good bill, I would urge you to resist the Senate position relative to those private proprietary institutions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Erdahl, I have a series of questions or concerns. First of all, I want to compliment you on trying to come up in a creative manner with a further bridge between K-12 and post-secondary, especially in terms of career readiness. But I'll say the element of this bill that makes the most sense to me is the advisory task force. That really makes a lot of sense to me. But until we have the work of that task force to move in some of these other areas seems to me to be highly risky. And I'll just list some of those areas and give you a chance to either respond or give some feedback. But the first question I ask, having been a school board member for 12 years, why aren't we expanding career and technical education in K-12? We have career and technical educators in our K-12 system. We've been cutting back on them over the last many years. So why aren't we looking at that avenue of addressing the needs of the students whose are appropriately aged for our K-12 system instead of reaching out beyond that? So that's one question. Do you want to respond to that first?
Representative Erdahl.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown. Yes, I'd like to respond one by one instead all at one time. You raise a good point. When I was in high school, perhaps some others of you were, vocational career education seemed to have a much larger role. But through whatever reasons, various cutbacks, we've gone away from that now. And I think in many ways it would be difficult to institute it back the same way again. I mean, things have changed. I think education has changed. We have to look at new ways to make it work and to get done some of the things that we had been doing before, but also to improve for the future. So what I'm looking at, like in the Anoka STEP program, are models that we can look at and see how can we make this work across the state and how can we do a better job of incorporating a career vocational technical knowledge into our high school students. Now, by the way, I do appreciate your comments on the task force because, frankly, that's where this all started with me. I would have liked to have just done some of these things, but once I got into it, realized that, frankly, I didn't have enough knowledge or skill to do these things without involving a lot of other people and a lot of stakeholders that are experts in this, and that's the purpose of it. And a lot of the things in the bill, I think, will also be addressed through the task force.
Representative Briner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I appreciate at least your recognition of what K-12 has had in the past, but I would say, and this would certainly be something the task force would recognize and come up with, a lot of our K-12 institutions are still very active in these areas, and I think will appropriately resent their territory being infringed on in this manner without a collaborative planning effort that would precede that. And I feel like this bill does kind of preempt a planning process in that regard. But so that being said, the other really strong red flag for me is the advertising piece, and it is just to me it's a huge red flag for a number of reasons. But my greatest concern is the role of the high school counselors. I think we're preempting the relationship the high school counselors have with their students and their families in terms of advising what's in the best interest of the student, when advertising can come in and curtail that role and responsibility. And I guess I would ask you if you would consider putting a piece in this bill that would address the role of the high school counselor here, because they have been the gatekeeper to this program. And I think it's really critical in recognizing not only the academic readiness, but the maturity of the student and their ability to take on that transition. And I really think we're dramatically undercutting the role of the high school counselor because, first of all, I think Representative Mari Ani mentioned the role of the higher ed counselors here. Our higher ed counselors are not prepared to deal with the elements of transition in the same way in which our high school counselors are. So the question is, you hear my concerns. Would you consider addressing the role of the high school counselor in this kind of programming?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Briner, I have been taking notes of questions and concerns as they've come up. I don't think it would be a dramatic change to look at the role of counselors in this. So yes, I will. To answer the other part of your question on advertising, know, I think that some form of advertising is appropriate. But I, just last night, had a representative from the School Board Association and from Education Minnesota together come into my office. I almost felt like singing songs, things with them. But they talked to me about this, and I agree that we maybe need to look at how it's structured and work on it from that standpoint. Maybe there is a way to do this that permits advertising but is more structured, less open. I'll just go back in history a little bit, though. I remember a similar discussion, heck, maybe 20 years ago, when something came into our classrooms called Channel 1, Whittle Communications. And it was a national news program for young people that we started our school day with. And they had advertising in it. And there was a great concern then about the dire consequences of having advertising on this television program. And frankly, I think it was all overblown. I mean, in schools now, there's all kinds of advertising in the school. That said, I do recognize what you're saying. We don't want it to be overblown. We don't want all kinds of things coming into the schools that are not appropriate, and there should be some structure to it.
Representative Verdahl, we're going to take your bill and we're going to put it on the table here because we have testifiers from outside the state on other bills. So we're going to take this and we're going to put it aside. And so the chair would, we can, I believe we can table this and just remove it from the table. Yeah, we'll just lay this on the table, right? Just lay it over for possible inclusion in a bill. And we're going to either take action, we'll take further action on this in additional testimony today, or we have people from New Ulm and other districts. I want to make sure we get to their testimony. So just hold on a second, Representative Verdahl, and we'll we might come back to it later, depending upon the amount of time we have, okay?
Mr. Chairman, so you're thinking perhaps coming back to it today, or what?
Depends upon how long people talk, Representative Verdahl. We have testifier. We have people who drove here from New Ulm, though, and other districts.
Sure.
And so I'm not going to make them
speak. Until Mr. Chairman, I understand.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do, Representative Verdahl.
And let's see, my committee meets here at 2:30, so I understand why you're moving right along.
Yep, thank you. Representative Torkelson, if you want to come down.
Representative Torkelson is on my committee at 2:30, so I know he'll be quick.
Chair will move House File 2577. Be recommended for possible inclusion in a later bill. Representative Torkelson, to your bill and to your testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not believe I have any testifiers today.
Oh,
okay. I hate to call you, you know, question your earlier remarks, but I did just speak to the superintendent of New Ulm Schools briefly before this meeting. House File 2577. Simple bill for fund transfer.
Okay. Well, thanks, Representative Torkelson. My apologies. I was told that you had testifiers, so it came up, so that's why we gave you the expedited process. But we'll what we'll do then is we'll put your bill to the side. Now we'll move to Representative Pepin, because I know she does have testifiers here. So
I could trade chairs back and forth, Mr. Chair, if you'd like. You know, I'm on the in the process of moving to Brown County. It's not in New Ulm, but it's close.
Are there any additional questions for members of the committee? Seeing none, the chair will renew his motion to have House File 2577 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. You're done, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The chair will move House File 2625. We move for possible inclusion in a later bill. Representative Pepin, you do have testifiers. We appreciate your patience. Welcome to the committee.
I do. Thank you so much for hearing my bill. We have an interesting situation in the Elk River School District, which is where I live. We have part of the district that falls within the seven-county metro area, including Anoka and Hennepin County, so some of the students live in that district. The district office, however, is located in Elk River, which is in Sherburne County. Therefore, the equity revenue numbers, the students who live in the Hennepin and Anoka County portions do not receive the same equity revenue as the other students that would fall in the districts that are in the seven county metro region. So that creates an inequity. So I've brought a few witnesses here to testify a little bit more to the situation. This is Jolene Jorgensen from the school board.
Hi, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Jolene Jorgensen. I'm the school board chair for the Elk River Area Schools. And I thank you for allowing me to testify on behalf of the students in the ISD 728 area schools. What we're looking for here is to address the inequities that we face because we are such a large district. We have 174 square miles. We're the eighth largest school district in the state population-wise for students, about 13,000 students. We cross nine cities, townships, three rivers, four major highways, and most importantly, we have five counties. And so those students that we have in the two counties, Anoka and Hennepin, we believe we should be able to have the equity funding for that as the metro school districts, even though our district office is in Sherburne County, about 5 miles away from a district line. So we're looking at trying to get the equity that is for the other students in the district, in the seven county district. So we're hoping that you can support this bill, and we have Joe Stangler here also, who is our Director of Research and Assessment, and he has more information for you as far as the demographics and other information.
Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Joe Stangler. Thank you, Chair Garofalo and members of the Education Finance Committee. Existing law that we're talking about is 126C.10, and subdivision 24 provides additional funds to school districts whose central office is located in the seven county metro area. When our school district was formed, had the central office been located 6 miles to the south or 5 miles to the east, we would be generating approximately $400,000 a year more in equity revenue. Although we are not considered to be a metropolitan school district, more than 25% of our students live in the Anoka or Hennepin County area. Being a part of Northwest Suburban Integration School District, the number of students who attend our school district from the seven county metro area has been increasing over the past 5 years, and yet those students generate no additional dollars. This is in part the reason why our district is more than $1,200 per student behind our metro counterparts. If approved, our bill would provide an additional $100,000 per year to our school district. That would help, granted it's a small portion, but it would help alleviate some of the inequity that we experience being a just outside of the metro area school district. That's why we're asking that House File 2625 be included in any educational bill this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Pepin, do you have any additional testifiers? This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns with the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion of the bill and move to member questions. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess my questions might be for the staff. I'm wondering if this is a bill that specifically mentions the Elk River School District, which is exactly the kind of bill I don't like. I like it to be a threshold bill so that it's written so that it's not just for one district, but whoever qualifies would be able to qualify. And so I'm wondering what other districts, if any, would qualify if this were written in a generic way, which I think would be better policy.
Mr. Strom or Mr. Crow?
Mr. Chair, Representative Greiling, we'll do a quick check for you. There are at least a couple in located Lake Rockford in Hennepin County that are split between Wright and Hennepin County. So we'll do a quick check for you here, but I'm guessing it's probably in the neighborhood of 15 school districts or thereabouts, but oftentimes the portion of the district that's in another district is going to be quite small. For example, with the Elk River School District, they have a small portion of the Asante School District, but it's very tiny. So for some of these districts, it may be a very small portion that's either in the metro area or not for the split districts.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Strom, I would appreciate knowing that anyway, and I would advise the author of the bill to change it so that all comers would qualify and not just the district in your own district. And then my last question is this of course the formula that I think we all love to hate the most, and what we really should be doing is reforming it, and that would mean getting rid of it. But in the meanwhile, by apportioning out more of the money to more districts, parts of it are finite pots, and I'm just wondering if we have a run of any sort, to see what this would mean by doing this for all the districts that qualify, how it would impact the districts that currently receive the funding.
Mr. Crow and Mr. Strom, I think it's correct in saying that the existing metro area revenue would be redistributed with a larger... No, I'm totally wrong. Okay, Mr. Crow and Mr. Crow, Mr. Strom. That's why you don't answer the question. Let the staff do it.
Mr. Chair and Representative Greiling, members, the bill as drafted is additive to the existing program and doesn't change the distribution that we use to allocate the funding within the current equity program. So, so basically, it's additional revenue on top of the existing equity program.
Representative Greiling?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, there's no cost
to the state. So does it increases property taxes? I see all blanks on the front page, but yet it says it has a local fiscal impact.
Mr. Crown, Mr. Crow, Mr. Strom.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Greiling, the equity program is a mix. We don't have a fiscal model. Is a mix of aid and levy. I'm not sure. Are you looking at? I don't think there was a fiscal note for 26-25.
Oh, there? Mr. Chair and Mr. Crow. Yes, I'm looking at the wrong fiscal note. I don't even have a fiscal note for this one.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Greiling, as the superintendent testified, the cost of the provision would be about $100,000, and we're just checking now to see where they are relative to the equalizing factor for the equity program. It'll be a mix of aid and levy, and it's likely to be more levy than aid.
Okay, then, Mr. Chair and members, I think a bill like this, we have to have a fiscal note before we take any.
Yep, we're laying it over today, Representative Brown.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Pepin, so, or for one of your testifiers, so when we divide the state into two regions, metro and non-metro, the part of your district that is not generating this equity revenue is the Rogers, the central part of Rogers, the most industrialized, metropolitan-looking part of your district, and that's not generating the equity revenue?
To the testifiers?
Yeah, that's correct. The Rogers area, which does have a lot more of the industrial, has a significant portion of the industrial development in the school district, is located in Hennepin County.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you. And then what part of your school district then is Sherburne County?
Elk River and Zimmerman areas are Sherburne County, and the Otsego area is Wright County.
Representative Dietrich.
Okay, one more question, Mr. Chairman. So what part of your district is generating the equity revenue? Is it the Ramsey and Hennepin?
Representative Dietrich, you mean under the bill, what part of the district would generate this revenue? Okay, to the testifiers.
Under the bill, Anoka County and Hennepin County portions of our district would be the students from those areas, those counties would be the ones generating the funds.
Okay. Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any additional questions? Mr. Crow and Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, Representative Greiling, we just finished the fiscal note. It's $75,000 of levy and $25,000 of aid.
Thank you very much.
It's a pretty impressive turnaround on a fiscal note, Mr. Crow, Mr. Strom. Any additional questions for members of the committee? Representative Pepin, any closing comments?
No, I know the time is limited, so I'll just thank you all for hearing me. And
just one question, Representative Pepin. When's my national popular vote bill up in your committee?
Oh, boy, I know Representative Erdahl is trying to get the committee hearing in here, Representative Garofalo, so we'll discuss that next week.
Thank you. I think she said June. With that, the chair renews his motion to have House File 2625 laid over for possible inclusion in the later bill. Representative Pepin, as always, it's a pleasure to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So we will remove from the table. Is Representative Erdahl still here? Is it a fat min? Are we passing it today, Sandra, right? Now, Representative Erickson moves that House File 2645 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. Representative Erickson, to your
thank
bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. House File 2645 changes a date if you are a consolidated school district and would be eligible for a cooperative facilities grant. It forces the date of consolidation to be July 1, 2009 or later. That's the only change, Mr. Chair. And the facilities grant then for that eligibility would be in the three fiscal years following the consolidation.
Mr. Crow and Mr. Sprom, does this have any general fund impact? We do not have a fiscal note on it, but I just want to make sure.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, no, there's no general fund impact with it. It could potentially, if it were to pass before the bonding bill, affect recommendations for other bills there, but it has no fiscal impact.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public? This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who should testify in favor or voice concerns of the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion of this bill and move to member questions. Any questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, Representative Erickson, any closing comments?
No, Mr. Chair, thank you very much for hearing it. I knew it was brief and would appreciate a passage.
With that, Representative Erickson renews her motion to have House File 2645 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee.
Adopted. Thank you. And Representative Mariani, do you want to wait until tomorrow to do your bill, or do you want us to move forward with it right now? It's your choice. It's really up to you.
I could do it now if you'd like.
Let's do it. Representative Mariani moves that House File 2554 be laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try to be as quick as possible. House File 2554 eliminates the cap and the statewide overall levy for, or actually the statewide overall cap on the levy for career and technical education.
I know.
And this is a 100% local levy. This will result in a $9.8 million possible increase in 2013, $9.3 million in 2014, and no change from the 2015 forecast. Last year, the formula was changed to increase the local levy to 35% of approved expenditures. Expenditures in there, I think those are spelled out like salaries, et cetera. And at the same time, the levy was capped statewide at what it is right now for this year, $17.8 million. And that produced the first increase the career tech education levy had experienced in 10 years. But the cap is also scheduled to be lowered back to the $15.5 million level that was present at that time for the following 2 years. This bill eliminates the dollar cap except for this year, the 2012. That will remain at the $17.8 million cap and will provide more career tech education funding for those districts that choose to expand their levy in that way. And members, very quickly, career tech education is the kind of education that increases focus on promoting the skills that we recognize are needed for both economic recovery and also for alignment with emerging new economic opportunities in a global age. And they involve skills like problem solving, research use, math, work-related communications such as critical thinking, managing time, et cetera, and doing that at a very young age with high school students. It realizes the multiple pathways concept to success out of our K-12 system that focuses on applied learning as part of one of those pathways. So, Mr. Chair, those are my quick comments. There are a couple, I think one or two folks have wanted to testify on this, and perhaps we can have them come forward a bit this time.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Debbie Belfry. I am the Career and Technical Director at Bloomington Public Schools and also am representing the Minnesota Association for Career and Technical Administrators, an organization that serves secondary and post-secondary administrators throughout the state. MACTA supports the language for the elimination of the limitation to the Career and Technical Education Levy. On behalf of our CTE programs that encompass agriculture education, business and marketing education, including entrepreneurship and information technologies, family and consumer sciences, health science occupations, technology education, including engineering, manufacturing, transportation, construction, human service areas, including law enforcement and fire protection, and work-based learning programs. Over 102,000 students beginning in grade 9 are able to access CTE programs, providing opportunities for college credit, articulated college credit, industry certification credentialing, and technical skill assessments and concurrent enrollment while they're still in high school. Minnesota data indicates that 97.12% graduation rate for CTE students who have completed at least 240 hours in a particular CTE program area. Many of the courses within these programs are also aligned to programs of study in Minnesota, which is non-duplicative sequence of courses, both academic and technical, beginning no later than grade 11 and continuing for at least 2 years beyond high school, culminating in a degree, diploma, or certification recognized as valuable to business and our industry partners. Minnesota Career and Technical Education has also taken to heart the recommendations from the Pathways to Prosperity report released by the Harvard Graduate School of Education that has worked to promote not only multiple pathways for student success, but also increased utilization of employers and the business community in the individual development of youth through work-based learning opportunities, mentoring, and apprenticeships. Students taking advantage of career and technical education courses offering dual credit options start to prepare for the rigor of post-secondary level work while they're still in high school. The integration of academic standards with CTE technical standards and assessments prepare students for the integration of learning in multiple situations and experiences. And the need for students moving through multiple educational opportunities leads to academic integration and applied learning. The need for the elimination of the career and technical levy cap will assure success for students in programs that engage students and lead to retention in high school, provide multiple pathways for successful transitions from secondary to post-secondary educational opportunities, and continue to support CTE programs proven to succeed through state-reported data. Thank you to the chair and to committee members for this opportunity to speak on behalf of those students.
Are there any questions?
Representative Slocum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you would like to tour a phenomenal program, Ms. Belfry is the one you need to contact, and this committee could go on a field trip at Bloomington Kennedy High School. Amazing and awesome career program.
Thank you. Are there any additional members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns about the bill? Representative Mariani, did you have any additional testifiers?
I'm not sure if they've left or not, but no.
Okay. Any additional questions for members of the committee? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Thanks for that brief moment of fame in the chairman's chair. Anyway, you know, in my part of the state, we have career or technical jobs, vocational jobs going on field because people don't have the correct skills. So I strongly support this bill that if we can get more training to the kids that would go into these fields, it's just a great idea. It's needed in outstate Minnesota. So thank you for this bill being brought forward.
Representative Dietrich.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask the testifier, are you on that task force committee that Representative Erdahl is proposing?
Mr. Chair and Representative, that task force is in creation stage, and so those committee members of the task force have not been named specifically at this time.
Representative Dietrich.
Yeah, we just heard his bill, and there was a list of a whole paragraph. I can't find my bill. There was just a paragraph of people and organizations that would be that were suggested to be represented. And so, if you're not, I would suggest that you talk with him and see if your organization or you personally can't get added to that task force.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Ms. Hester.
The Minnesota Association for Career and Technical Administrators is listed as one of the potential members of that task force. The specific people have not been named.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions from members of the committee? Representative Mariani, any closing comments?
Mr. Chair, no. I mean, I think we've got, there are other nations that I think have developed some really strong multiple pathways for what comes out of our K-12 system as opposed to just simply the good academic focus. I think this applied learning experience is a powerful, needed one to round out what we should expect out of our K-12 system. Minnesota has a pretty strong, proud history of doing that, and this bill would allow these districts to be able to continue to fund and grow those programs.
So thank you, Representative
thank
Mariani.
Thank you for the hearing, Mr. Chair.
With that, Representative Mariani renews his motion. Have House File 2554 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Thank you, Representative Mariani. Representative Greiling, I don't mean to ask you this in front of everyone, but so the Erdahl bill, I have told the author that after he leaves this committee and he makes a stop, that I want it to come back to this committee. Now, do you feel comfortable moving on this right now, or do you prefer that I lay it over? Because I know we're past our time, and we're past later in the meeting, so I don't want to run anything through here unless you're cool with it.
Mr. Chair, I support the bill, so I'd like it to progress as fast as possible.
All right, so the chair will remove the move that the Erdahl bill be taken from the table. House file 2025. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion prevails. So, members, we're taking the motion from the table. Now we have to pass it to GovOps.
Yes.
So, is there any additional comments from members of the committee? Seeing none, the chair will renew his motion to have House file 2025 be recommended to pass as amended and referred to the Government Ops Committee. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The motion is adopted. Members, I appreciate your patience in dealing with the time crunch we had today, and we'll see you tomorrow. With that, the committee is adjourned.